Hello, everyone. This is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Oh, man. I did not know what to expect out of this one. I really didn't. Like, going into it, I was like, this is going to be really stupid. Because I was thinking it's going to be like all those other cliche horror movies that we've watched
about
yeah. An animal or some sort of animal. Some sort of animal attacking people and, like, you know, devastating something, and then they figure out how to kill it,
and then
kill it, and then it's over with. Rinse, repeat for, like, every single one of those cliche-ass, like, animal horror movies.
Nope.
Not this one.
Nah.
No.
Nah, fam. They got you.
They did. And I was actually... You know, I don't know if it, like, it's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but it was really good.
I think it's, I think this one's underrated.
I agree.
I think this gets too much of a bad rap. I guess I understand why it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Right.
Because it's certainly very different.
Yeah, you ain't shitting. Certainly,
it's a different approach to this kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I think for me it works, personally. For me, I think the, like, slow, like, really dark and just claustrophobic feel of it, it works for me. But I'm sure for some people they'd prefer it be a bit more stupid.
Yeah,
and, I can, like, see it. Over the top.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, you know, be like one of those bad, like, sci-fi original movies.
Right, where, you know, like I said... A giant creature comes out of the earth for some reason. Then they have to figure out how to kill it. Then they figure out how to kill it. They kill it, and then it's over.
Yeah, because before sci-fi started making dumb, like, you know, mega sharktopus versus mega octopus movies, they used to make, like, you know, like python, you know, tarantula, things like that.
Just giant animals.
Or some sort of animals.
Or giant bugs.
Not even just giant, like just something.
Yeah.
Usually with awful special effects.
Well, I mean, you even go back to like the 50s and 60s and you get a lot of that, like...
Giant.
Like giant spiders or, like, you know, stuff that people were generally creeped out by, you know, like... So, like, they were like, oh, like, people are afraid of spiders. Let's have giant spiders, like tarantula.
Tarantula.
You know? Or... Men are afraid of women, so let's have a 50-foot woman attack people. You know, like...
Listen, if there's anything scarier than spiders, Will, it's women.
Back then, it probably was. I don't know.
Especially hip go-go dancing women. That's the scariest.
Attack of the 50-foot woman. Now...
That's a movie.
Now, we also have to talk about...
William Castle?
William Castle.
Yes, we do.
Because we have very different opinions on William Castle.
I respect him. I think he's very unique. For those who don't know, the thing with William Castle is that his movies... I don't know how, like... He was almost like a circus showman.
Dude, you can say it. I mean, He just had gimmicks.
He loved his gimmicks, but what I mean by this is, like, the trailers for his movies were literally just him showing off the gimmicks. Like, he would talk to you, to the camera, and there would be a gimmick in his movies. Each of his movies have gimmicks. I do like House on Haunted Hill and The Tingler, but I'll be honest, I think Alfred Hitchcock making Psycho kind of broke William Castle. Because after Psycho came out, he tried so hard to chase the Hitchcock train.
He did.
But he had the gimmick. So an example. In The Tingler, there was like a thing built into the theater seats.
Yeah.
And when the...
It would like blow air on your feet.
To give you the tingles.
Yeah.
When The Tingler would be in the movie. In 13 Ghosts, the ghosts were only visible if you put on... The 3D glasses.
Which, it's funny, because in the remake, they actually do that gimmick.
They do.
In the movie. You can only see the ghost when you put on special glasses.
They do that. But, you know, and that was like the... he kind of stopped doing those like weird theater gimmicks, but all of his movies had something like,
well, like House on Haunted Hill, he had like a skeleton on a string, and when the guy would see the head in the suitcase, yeah, he would pull out,
yeah,
that he would have the theater pull out this thing. But like, you're right, it kind of lost steam because people got word of it after they saw it once, and then people would start vandalizing.
Well, it's not just this, but like
his gimmicks as well.
Yeah, because obviously, and like, there were other people who kind of followed this. Like, I don't remember what movie it was, but there was one movie where they would give you barf bags in the theater.
Yeah.
Things like that would start happening. But with William Castle, essentially what started happening is that his movies started kind of... it peaked with House on Haunted Hill. And then from that point on, it was just kind of downward, where like each movie was less successful than the next one. So, and the gimmicks were just like... there was one where he had a movie called Homicidal.
Yeah.
Which I think is a giant pile of garbage, because it's just a ripoff of Psycho, right down to the cross-dressing murderer. He had a movie called Mr. Sardonicus. Yeah. The gimmick in that was that the guy had a giant mouth. He had 13 Ghosts had the ghost that you only see with the glasses. Mm-hmm. He had one about a telephone.
Yep.
Where, like, the murderer is on the telephone. So, fast forward to now, 1975. This is his last movie that he worked on. He didn't direct it, he produced it.
Right.
And again, we do have a gimmick.
Because his last actual, like, movie that he directed was Shanks, so...
Yeah, and this was the last movie that he actually was involved in, and it does have the gimmick.
Yep.
What is the gimmick?
The gimmick is... how would you describe it? Just fire?
Cockroaches that...
that light shit on fire.
Shoot fire out their ass.
Yeah, they can spark fire from their ass.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, you have a movie where cockroaches light shit on fire out of their ass.
Yes.
And it's called Bug. None of this is, like, promising, okay? None of this is promising.
Now, may I just say, on your contrary note, and I know we're going to get into the movie review.
You love you some, but, William Castle.
But, may I just say, I think William Castle...
you love that shit.
...is incredible.
You love that shit,
don't I
you?
Don't know why, but I fucking love William Castle. The way he comes out before every movie to give his fucking opening monologue about how scared you're gonna be.
Yeah.
It's so dumb, but it has much charm to it.
Because like I said, it's like a... I can't help it. He's like a...
and I'll admit, he does copy Hitchcock a lot of times, but
he's like a car salesman, and that's the charm, because like...
that's what I love about it. He...
no one did that before him.
The thing I do hate is he kind of revolutionized this whole like... gimmick in the theaters kind of thing.
I mean, not really.
Like, he...
to be fair...
he did bring, like...
3D movies.
They were a thing.
Yeah. But he kind of
added... but what I liked is he kind of, like... he wanted to shock his audience, right? So he wanted to bring, like, real shit into the theaters so he could spook his audience. Well,
unexpected shit.
Yes. Not just 3D shit coming at your face.
So, like, your seat would blow air on you and make you tingle... and there'd be a skeleton flying across the...
but not just that. I don't know. His movies, to me, have some weird, like... charm. I don't know. A charm to them. Like, they just are so damn enjoyable. They're so dumb. Like, they're so stupid. Like they're so stupid.
I do like House on Haunted Hill. And I do remember enjoying The Tingler.
Yeah.
Both of those have Vincent Price in them, so...
well, I mean,
I guess the logic for me is that if he kept working with Vincent Price, would have been like winning forever.
But like, you know, if you've seen Project X, I don't know.
I've seen the...
it's ridiculous.
I've seen the new one, but I know that's not...
like, I don't know. Like, Let's Kill Uncle's good. Straight Jacket's a good one. But yes, okay, yes, he was riding the hype train. But there's something I love about William Hamer, like... oh, William Castle, not William Hammer. Yeah. William Castle movies, I love it. It's great.
And another thing that...
Hammer films are another thing.
Hammer films are, their own little...
yeah, I know.
We haven't actually had any on this podcast.
We haven't had a Hammer film, though.
We might in the future. when they start dipping in quality, but but we haven't had any of those yet. And this does not, for me, it really doesn't feel, well, it's not directed by William Castle.
It's definitely not a William Castle movie.
It has the gimmick, but it's done very, I don't know, this has a really, like, dark, claustrophobic, like, just, it just feels, like, sinister.
And I'll admit, the imagery, if you really hate cockroaches, is gonna gross you out.
It's well done.
It's like, well done, it's creepy.
And it's for real.
Some of the visuals are actually pretty shocking.
It's well directed, like, there's some really good, like, long takes. There's some really good, like, crane shots and all this stuff. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
It's got, I mean, for a movie about cockroaches shooting fire out their ass, it's all done pretty respectably.
Now, I say that, I think we're going on this tangent so long because there's not, like, a ton of, like, different things happening here. Like, it's pretty much cut and dry. But the fact that they made this movie pretty coherent and actually fairly entertaining while making a movie about cockroaches that light shit on fire with their asses, that's pretty great.
It's pretty admirable.
But anyway, so after our, you know, 11-minute intro, let's finally get into
critiquing
this movie.
This movie that we enjoyed.
As you couldn't tell, maybe we'll put this as our final thoughts first. But,
like, well, I mean, I'll have more final thoughts
to add. I will, too. But let's get into
it. Let's actually talk about the movie.
So the first image is a church, and then it's showing all the credits. Like, basically, the church is just your first scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the setup shot.
Yeah, and it's like, you see a car driving in the distance as the credits go, and the car pulls up, a woman gets dropped off at the church.
Yep, because she wants to go to church, and her husband goes away, or her significant other, or whatever.
It's our main character.
It's the professor.
Yeah, Parmeter.
Yep.
He goes to work.
Professor Parmeter.
Oh, Parmeter.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yep. She goes in, and then, so they start this, like, a guy's, like, sermonating on, you know, different things, and
He's
he's saying, basically, like, you know, the apocalypse is coming if we don't change our ways and all this stuff.
Message.
And, like, he even, like,
think about it.
He even, like, tells people to, like, get out a map and, like, mark the spots where, like, death and mayhem have occurred. And, like, you'll, like, get a clear image of, like, something.
If you think about
it. Like, basically that they're at the epicenter of the apocalypse.
That it's coming. The end is near.
Yes.
If you think about it, it is sort of foreshadowing.
Oh, it's definitely foreshadowing now that we've seen the whole movie.
Now that you've seen the whole movie.
It's not an obvious foreshadow, but it is foreshadowing.
It does make sense, but yeah, and she's like, she's talking with this guy there, and they're kind of laughing, like, oh, he's on his usual, like, nonsense.
And then it, like, slowly cranes up and goes behind, like, the chandeliers up on the roof. Apparently, I can't talk tonight. It goes up on the chandeliers on the roof, and, like, it's, like, kind of weird because it, like, positions the camera, like, right behind one of the lights.
So it starts shaking.
And then everything starts shaking, and then we get this really intense, like, earthquake scene where, like stuff is falling out the walls.
Comes out of fucking nowhere.
The floor is, like, moving and, like, creaking, and, like, all
the walls are falling apart.
The pews are, like, flapping back and forth. Like, everyone's freaked out. It's actually a pretty well-done scene, because even, like, the floor, like, it's weird. Like, it'll, like, raise up, and, like, the actors will actually, like, be on the thing, and they'll be, raising up, and...
Yeah, it's well done.
The church, like, cracks in half at, like, certain points and stuff.
No, it's good. It's well done.
It's pretty well done. So, the girl and the guy are all freaked out, and she had talked to him about giving her a ride.
Yeah, because the husband's gonna be at work.
So, she's like, let me go call my husband and make sure he's okay. Are you gonna be here? And he's like, yeah, we'll wait for you outside. So she goes and tries to phone, and he finds his son pulls up and
they drive picks away. Him up,
and they drive away without her.
Strand her.
Move.
Well, shit.
What, should I say karma's a bitch?
karma came in the form of cockroaches.
So she just left. We don't see her for a while after this, but so we get a scene of like these two, this girl and her boyfriend. Is it the, no, it's the son, isn't it? The dude's son?
It is,
Or is it her boyfriend? The
it's two, her brother.
Her brother?
Yeah. The boyfriend is introduced later.
Okay, so yeah, we get the brother and the girl, and they're, like, looking at this huge ditch.
Yeah, from the earthquake.
That was caused by the earthquake.
It's like a giant crack in the earth.
Right.
And they're looking at it, and...
And he's, like, kicking rocks into it, but they're, like, well, they're not rocks. It's like
they're not rocks.
These little, like, it looks almost like, what are those fossilized...
Oh, trilobites?
Trilobites, yeah. They look like trilobites that he's kicking into the ditch. So he's like, they're like, where's our dad? Like, where is he? Like, I'm worried. He wasn't answering the phone or anything. And so we get a scene of them, like, looking in the ditch, and, the truck...
Pulls up.
Is, like, pulling
it's
up.
It's in the distance, and...
But you see smoke billowing.
Smoke out. Coming out of it.
You're like, what the hell?
And...
And then the truck just lights on fire.
Well, it shows them inside the truck.
Well, because, like,
they're, like, start it up again.
The dad's like, don't flood it. Let me try it. And then just flames engulf the whole truck.
As they're, like, screaming and being burned alive.
Yeah.
Pretty intense. And just out of fucking nowhere.
And then from the exhaust pipe down to the ground, it's, like, on flames. And then we just see a bug.
Yeah, just a trail.
Just a this weird-looking, like, cockroach thing.
Yeah. And then we get a scene of... Then it's the boyfriend.
The boyfriend's looking for the
girl.
The girl.
And he's looking for her, and she's not there, and he...
And he, like, comes up to a police...
It's the brother.
Right.
But he put, like, the flares on the road.
Yeah, to signal, like, that they need help or something. Yeah,
because he drives over to the farm to see what happens, and... The girl is, like, freaked out and traumatized because she basically saw her father...
I mean, honestly...
Burn alive.
Who wouldn't be traumatized by that?
Yeah, it's a little freaky.
So she's all freaked out, so he decides they're all gonna get in his car and drive to the farm.
Yeah.
To figure out, like, kind of what happened. And so...
They
drive away, and then you hear, like, a little clicking sound. And you see, like, smoke billowing out of
The exhaust. And their bugs start falling out of it. And then it lights
on fucking fire. Again.
As this bug sits on, like, a little dirt hill looking at it. Supposedly looking at it. Hint, hint. And...
So then they're inside the farm, and they're talking about the earthquake and, like, what could it cause, like, you know, the truck to, like, go up in flames that.
They put the girl to bed.
And then still talking about it, and then the guy goes outside to try and...
He hears something.
Yeah, and he wants to investigate what's with the ditch, and, like, he hears something clicking.
Some clicking noise, and you also hear a meowing.
Yep.
And he sees, like, this cat licking a bug.
Now, before we get into this scene, I want to remind people, if they've seen any horror movie ever, and you hear a cat, you know that cat, its 9 lives are up.
You know that,
That cat is not gonna survive the next scene.
You know that, killing a cute kitty in the first 20 minutes of your horror movie is a pretty, like... It's a pretty foolproof way to, like, set up...
I think it shows, like, the destruction of, like, innocence.
Yeah, it does.
In a way. Like, that's, like... I think that's why they do it, is because, like...
Well, not just
they're
that.
They're trying to show something, like, that's, like, cute.
Because, like, you've had two in a row, right?
Yeah.
You've had the girl see her, like, father burned alive.
And her brother.
And her brother. And now there's, like, a cat that's just, like, casually, like, you know, just licking a bug. And it gets killed. Like, it's like you get, like, a twofer. Just, like...
Well, yeah, because he picks up one of the bugs and it burns his hand. And he's, like, wondering, like, why.
And he's also noticing that they're not, like... He's standing right next to them.
And they're not, like, running away.
They're not running away, but as soon as he picks them up, they just, like, you hear, like,
like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
So, the cat starts licking one, like you said, and it attaches, like, to its face.
And burns it.
And starts burning the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And the cat's trying to run away and, like, all this stuff, and then dies.
Yeah.
And then, like, we get this horrible image of, like, the cat's, like, skull halfway burned
off.
It's not, like, an actual cat.
No,
it's totally fake, but it's still pretty creepy, because it's, like, you can see its skull with,
it's
like,
it's a good effect.
Yeah.
Like, I know how they did it, because, like, they basically, you see the cat with, like, kind of, like, smoke coming off of it.
Yeah.
And that's all, like, just a special effect.
Well, yeah, because they put smoke around the cat. It wasn't...
But they add on the sound effects, and it makes it creepy.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty creepy image.
So, and then we get a setup scene where a teacher, the teacher from the beginning of the movie, is teaching a class at a college, right?
He's talking about how humanity is, like, we've lost our connection.
A connection with nature, and to communicate with, like, nature and, like, animals and stuff.
So he has a little trick.
And boy, howdy. And more foreshadowing about communication. Get it?
Oh, there was communication, baby.
A lot of communication.
He has a little trick. You see a squirrel come in. He's like, oh, look, we have a visitor. And he kind of talks to it.
He's squeaking squeaker.
Leaks, like, you know. Reaches his hand and it crawls on his hand like he's Pocahontas.
Yep.
And he's like, well, you know, maybe or that'll
cronk,
be.
Whichever one. I mean, you know, that's where the squeaking squeaker.
Yeah. And he does that and then the class goes out and the boyfriend of the girl is there. He has a little box with him.
Yep.
And they're talking, and he's like, yeah, I took a class with you. I just couldn't, like, care too much about it, but... And he's like, what's that with the scroll? He's like, oh, it's just a little, like, parlor trick.
Yeah.
I do it every time.
He's like, okay, well, it's lunchtime, so are you gonna keep staring at me, or are we gonna, like, talk about what you came to talk about?
Or are we gonna, like, go get some food?
They go sit down, and the boyfriend starts, like, being like, so are there any bugs that can, like, burn you?
Oh, yeah, because after the cat gets killed, the bugs start lighting, like, all the bushes on fire.
Yeah.
So they're just fire, like, exploding everywhere. But, yeah, he starts asking, like, is there any bug that can light things on fire? And then he mentions a bug that can, like, burn you, but it can't, like, light things on fire.
Right.
He's like, is there also a bug that will not move?
Like, won't run away when you get next to it or pick it up.
Yeah. It won't do anything.
I think that's bugs have a reactionary thing if they just run away because they're scared of you. Mm. So he's like, no, there's no bug that does that. Mm. And he's like, well, like, he's like confused and he's like, well, I think we might be dealing with something more extreme here then. And so he like shows the cat with the burned face. He's like, the bugs did this they burned my fingers.
Yeah.
And then the doctor, the professor's like, there's no way in hell bugs did this. Like, that is clearly not bugs.
Yeah.
So he's like, he obviously wants to go see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So he goes to look, and he starts looking at them, and they start going over, like, how, like, they're big. They're basically cockroaches. They're really big, and yeah, he sees that they do, like...
Did they ever mention that they're slightly bigger than cockroaches?
He does mention they're bigger. He also mentions that they're heavy.
Right.
And that, like, you can feel them breathing.
Yeah, because they're really, like, they have a lot of density to them.
And how, like, their legs have, like, hooks in them. And what else? They find out that they can't see.
They have no eyes. They only have, like, the antennas to, like, feel around. They don't have any eyes.
They don't have any eyes. And that he also notices that they eat ashes.
Yep. So they almost have like no mouth either.
Yeah.
He kind of mentions. Mm. They only have like one food source.
Yeah. Just the ashes. And...
So then, like, the next few scenes are just shit hitting the ever loving fan. Like, there's just fires all over this little town.
Oh, yeah.
Just like fires everywhere. Like, buildings are burning down. A mansion is burning to the ground. Like, firefighters everywhere fighting fires and all that stuff. And, like, just. Chaos all around.
Yeah, and he's calling like an assistant to the mayor and telling him that like it's bugs, bugs causing this. And the guy's like, "What the hell? Like, no,
like there's no way it's bugs."
Yeah.
So the professor goes home and he's like trying to like figure out what the hell's going on. He's like doing a little study, and the guy comes over to fix his windows from the earthquake. So the guy, like, kind of is like, hey, like, I have a bunch of equipment in my car. Do you mind if I pull into your garage? The guy's like, okay, that's fine. And so he starts fixing the window. And, like, the guy, you know, grabs a sandwich. And the guy who's fixing the window is like, hey, is there something wrong with your car?
It's a weird noise.
It has a weird knocking sound is coming from it.
And he knows.
And he's like, oh, shit.
Because he knows he heard the sound before. He goes in there and he tells the guy, like, get your truck out of the garage. Like, just trust me.
Right, yeah.
Just get it out. Because he sees that they're in the car.
He, like, opens the trunk and they're all over his, like, exhaust and, like, all over his engine and stuff like that.
And they're lighting it on fire.
And they're in his, like, actual exhaust pipe, too.
Yeah. So they're just lighting the entire engine on fire.
So he rolls up a newspaper and lights it on fire and, like, gets each one of them with the ashes. Then they puts them in a jar so they won't destroy his car.
And he also gets them out of the exhaust pipe, but...
But one...
There is one...
One lone one is above the doorway in the garage.
One loner.
He missed one.
Is this the scene when he found out that, they're traveling by exhaust pipe?
Yeah, because he's trying to figure out how they're traveling because they're not really mobile.
They're not super mobile. They're slow and they can't see.
But they're attracted by heat. So what happens is they get into cars, and that's how they're traveling around the city.
That's how they get around the city.
So, also we learn that they can't. He believes they can't breed. There's no way for them.
Yeah, there's no way for them to breed.
So then we get the funeral of the guy. And, you know, the girl who was with him when he died, like, just before he died.
The professor's wife.
Is trying to apologize to, like, not apologize, but trying to explain that she was with him just before.
That she almost got in the car with him.
Yep. And she's, like, being really hysterical, but she's, like, really distraught and everything. And they finally, like, go away from the funeral. And then we,
I just want to say, I don't know if this is, like, super... I'm guessing it was intentional, but I've noticed in a lot of scenes, you can hear sirens.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was intentional.
I'm guessing it's, like, showing that, like, basically, like,
the everything's... Shit has hit the fan, officially.
Going batshit insane.
Shit got real.
Yeah. Because in almost every scene where it's, like, in public, there's a siren.
Yeah.
In the background.
So the siblings are all... The siblings and the boyfriend are all packing up the father's old things.
They're
figuring out, like, where they're going to move and what's going on. So the brother and and the boyfriend go into another room.
I like how this scene is done because it's all one shot.
Yep, and you just see...
It starts, like, a close-up of the boyfriend. It slowly goes out. You see everybody, and then it slowly, like, goes over to a phone. And the whole time, you just see a
cockroach on the phone.
On the receiver.
One of the firebugs. And so
everyone leaves except the girl.
The girl is packing, and then the phone rings.
Yep.
Now, pray tell, what is going to happen here if a cockroach is on the phone and she's going to go answer said phone?
It's on the poster.
Yep.
So I knew. She picks up the phone, and the bug attaches itself to her ear.
And starts burning the shit out of her ear.
As her ear's, like, being fucking burned, and there's blood pouring out of it.
And she's, like, screaming and trying to get it off and everything, but it won't come off. Because these things, apparently, are very heavy, so they don't just, like...
Yeah.
You can't just brush them off.
Well, also...
They, like, hook onto you.
Their legs have hooks in them.
Yeah.
So you can't just get it off. And also, yeah, if you try getting off, it just burns the shit out of you. So the boyfriend gets a newspaper... he lights it on fire and then puts it out and, like, kind of, like, sticks it so it just feeds on the ashes instead.
Mm-hmm.
And gets it off there.
So they take her to the hospital and he's all freaked out, and we get a short scene of him, like, in the hospital, and the brother comes and says she's still in surgery.
Just like...
And, like, you know, just... We just have to wait and see what mm-hmm. happens. And then the professor is studying more. And he's, like, he's trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And so he goes into the fridge... And opens a beer can and it pops it
explodes.
Open. It explodes open. Like, just before we recorded when I knocked over my beer and it exploded everywhere. You know, listen. It exploded. It just erupted.
Message. Okay?
Message. My beer was trying to give us a message just like this guy's it's beer true. Was trying to give him a
it
message.
It just fucking blew up.
And that's a true they mostly come out at night message.
It is.
Beer exploding.
Just, you know, beer explodes. Out of fucking nowhere. It happens.
And he's just like, okay, that makes sense. So he goes and, like, finds one of his wife's, like, sewing needles.
Yeah, it's a sewing needle.
And then, well, actually, it's a knitting needle because it's huge. So.
Yeah, but it's sharp. And he goes back to
the ditch.
And he finds a bug.
And he, like, flips it on its back so it can't get out. And he stabs it in the stomach and it just fucking
explodes
all over the place. It just fucking just... Oh, just it's kind of a disgusting scene because you just see this all this white filament and shit just like
exploding,
exploding out of this little cockroach,
like insanity.
Yeah,
and he figures out that basically like they're like that's what they are. They're like little powder kegs.
Yeah, because they're so because what had happened is they were underneath the ground so like so long because these are pretty. Like, almost prehistoric.
They find out that, yeah, they're prehistoric and
they're prehistoric and they've been pressurized for so long underneath the ground that then when they're trying to stabilize their pressure, but they're, like, just under so much, like, compression that, like, literally the slightest tap on their, like, their fleshy parts will make them explode.
Yeah.
And they're eventually going to all die out because they can't get used to the pressure.
They can't get used to the pressure and they can't breed.
Yeah.
And the doctor is getting, like, disappointed because he's wanting to... Not the doctor, the professor.
So he goes to his friend at the university. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, we need to figure out how to make these things breed. And the guy's like, well, like, they're all going to die out. We should just... Basically, the friend's like, I don't give a shit. We should let them die out. We're it's not... Fine. Like, why would we breed these things?
Then shit gets real. So... when we were watching this, I had described this movie as a movie of two halves. You have the first half that's like your kind of your standard, you know, insert animal here.
Yeah.
Attack movie.
Right. And
more dark.
And I thought I was going to just follow suit with that. Like the professor was going to be like, okay, we shouldn't breed them. Let's figure out how to destroy them.
And then, yeah, and you'd then, get like they find out how to destroy
them. You know, you get the climax, they kill all the roaches, everything would be fine, everything goes back to normal.
But no.
This is not that movie.
Nope. So this goes completely, does a 180 into a whole crazy ass
this new movie. This takes it to 11.
And I love the second half of the movie.
So we get a scene of the wife of the professor. She's on like a desk and she gets a phone call and she answers it. And apparently it's her birthday, and the friend's on the phone, and she's like, "Oh, you got me a surprise! What in the garage?"
She goes and picks up a little present,
and then like as she's picking it up, you see a roach just connected to the bottom of the cake, and you're just like, "Oh no!"
She goes in, she puts it on her lap, she talks about it, and then she puts it back on the table. But when she puts it back on the table, you see that the roach is no longer on the...
It's no longer on the box, and it's nowhere to be found.
And then you see it on her back. So she
walks away, and it's on her fucking clothes.
And then she, like, tells her friend, like, thank you so much. And she goes and starts getting ready to cook dinner. She's going through a cookbook.
And she's like, smoked salmon, blah, 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 you know, and then
it's, like, it's really well done. Like,
like the cockroach...
It slowly, like, zooms in, like, on her face. And you see it just, like...
You see it, like, creep up her, like, shoulder, and then it, like, slowly turns back and, like...
Goes into her hair.
Goes into her hair and starts burning her hair. And she's, like, she, like, starts, like, trying to get it out, and then her hair just, like...
Lights.
Erupts into flame.
And she...
And then she, like, and then the next scene is, like, her arm on fire, and, like, she's, like, going all over the house trying to put it out, and she's, like, lighting everything on fire. While going around the house. And then... She is, like, completely on fire.
Everything's on fire.
The whole house is on fire.
Yeah, so you know.
She's dead.
It's over.
There is no saving her at this point.
Yeah, and then... I also like how this next scene is done as well, because there's, like, all these people outside this science lab.
Yep, and the friend comes by.
Because the professor... Because you find out the professor's, like, he's, like, locked himself in there because he freaked the fuck out.
Well, wouldn't you? Understandably.
Yeah.
A fucking cockroach
killed
your wife.
Yeah, he freaked the fuck out. The friend gets in there, and the professor just, like, the room is destroyed.
I do love how the scene is done, because he, like, the friend comes in.
It's like, it's a...
Yeah, and, like...
It's a one shot. It's a long shot. It's like, a long take.
It shows the friend coming into the room, but, like, the room is just...
Destroyed.
Totally fucking wrecked.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by the earthquake.
No, he snapped.
Like, there's tables flipped over, like, everything's broken, everything's completely in disarray. Mm. And the professor is just sitting, like, on the floor near his desk. And so he's really pissed off.
Right? I also like how it's done, because it starts as, like, it's a shot from the back of the professor. yeah. as he's on the ground, and then it, like, as the his friend comes closer to him, it flips around and does a 180, and then it's on his face, and he's just, like, he's been, like, crying, he's just, like, staring into, like, he's got, like, the thousand-yard stare.
But you can totally tell he's, like, cracked at this point. Like, this is the breaking yeah. point of our professor.
Because the guy's, like, telling him, like, you know, you can stay with us, it's fine, and he's just, like, not listening, he's just, like... Well, one track.
We kind of just get the impression that this is the... Like, the professor won't be the same character from this yeah. point on. Like, he is no longer the character that we knew from the first half of the yep. film. He is completely broken.
He's, yeah,
and accurate. And it shows for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
Because he is completely broken by this
point. Yep.
So, he goes to the boyfriend
and he tells girl. And he's like, I looked at your record. You took physics. You were, like, a good physics student.
And you built me a pressurized machine.
He asks him if he can build him, like... He's like, how can I get a pressurized machine without going to the physics department?
Right.
Because I'm guessing if he goes to the physics department, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Why do you need a... Like...
So the boyfriend kind of agrees to
he's like
build
a,
one for him.
He's like, yeah, like a sailor's helmet. Or
like,
not a...
Like a submarine.
A
like
deep diver.
A deep diver, yeah. yeah.
He's like, yeah, can you build me one? He's like, what is this about? What's the deal? And he's like, oh, you know, I can't really tell you. And he kind of refuses, and he's like, look at your girlfriend in the hospital. Like, isn't that reason enough for you to try to help me here?
Mm-hmm.
And he agrees.
So they build him this submarine helmet.
It's like a helmet.
Deep diver helmet.
And it's hooked up to
a bunch of valves coming off of it.
So you can adjust the pressure.
So what the professor does is he puts fire roach into the pressurized thing.
To keep it alive.
Yeah, to give it the same pressure that it would be underground.
Yep.
So then he introduces a male house roach to it.
To see if they breed.
And they do.
They do.
Because he equalizes the pressure that they can both sustain.
They can both sustain.
And so they do. And then we get this little scene of like a little egg sac.
And what happens is the male regular cockroach dies.
Mm-hmm.
The other one still stays alive. And the egg sac starts growing. Also, it's worth noting that each scene, he is, like, increasingly unhinged.
Well, like, his beard gets... He gets more, like, dirty clothes.
His shirt gets like, dirtier. He stops shaving.
You can tell he's, like, not taking showers or anything. And, like, he just looks... Like, he looks dirtier and dirtier as the
yeah.
story progresses.
And it's just, like... Point. It's just scenes of him, like, in his... Because what he does is he moves into the farmhouse.
Yeah.
From the girl and the boyfriend. And he moves in there, and they let him move in there. But he's just... Each scene is, like... It's just in this room. And it's, like, in the middle of the night, he'll get on his, like, little recorder, and he's like, it is right now, you know, 2 a.m, and I'm seeing that the egg sac is growing. So it's just showing that...
He's not getting any sleep.
He's losing it.
He's barely eating, and, like, he's just losing his goddamn mind.
Yeah.
So the student, like, the boyfriend, the student and his girlfriend
come
to the door and try to bring him food, and he is, like, acting all crazy, and he's just like, I just need some sleep. You can't come in here. Like, I gotta go to sleep.
His excuse is that he's writing a book and he can't, like, be bothered.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, you didn't tell anybody I'm here, did you? And they're like, well, we told,
the friend.
His friend.
At the university.
And he gets pissed off.
Yeah, and he shuts the door, and they just leave the food and leave.
Yeah, and they know something's up. But he's just... And by this point, he's got a beard, and he's losing it. But then...
Then he goes back to the pressurized thing, and the egg sac has grown much larger, like 3 times its size.
He removes it and puts it in, like, a little tank. And it... he starts hearing the noises...
And then you see this little light coming from the egg sac.
And it opens up.
And then all these, like, big-ass, well, not big-ass yet, but these roaches start coming out. These, like, little tiny, like, baby roaches.
And they're different. Because he starts looking at them, he sees that it's a new species.
Yep.
But he at this point, he hasn't figured out what the deal is.
So, it does, like, kind of a time lapse, a few days.
Mm.
And he's noticing these roaches are, like, really big. They have the fire thing, but they're also very mobile.
Yeah.
So they're not pressurized like the other ones. So
they can live in normal.
They can move around. They're basically like a roach that can start things on fire, mm-hmm. like an actual roach. A big-ass roach yeah. that can start things on fire. How great.
How awesome.
So he's like, all right, fuck it. So he like he goes to the tank and he's finally like, okay, I'm going to kill the roaches that killed my wife. He like snaps.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, no.
Not yet. First, they get out. Remember he puts like a stake on the table?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he goes and like starts making soup. Well, the piece of steak is on the table, and they get out
later.
Nope, that's right now.
No, because he frees the normal. No, roach.
Oh yeah, well no, because he gives.
Because he gets mad. He gets mad.
Well, he doesn't
and,
really
like,
get
because like, the other roach, the fire roach, isn't dying in the pressurized thing.
Well, he doesn't try to kill it in the pressurized thing. But essentially, what he does is
well, he turns up the pressure so much that he tries to explode it. Remember, and then the glass cracks.
That's later. That's after he got bitten, remember? He sticks like all of the ones that bit him into the pressurized chamber, and then like they start squealing, remember? Yeah.
Okay.
But with this one, what he does is he takes it and he sticks it into the
roach tank.
And he just puts it in there. It's just like, oh, now you can like join the rest of your friends. And they just kinda stare at it. And then one of them like drops onto the regular old roach and burns it.
And burns it alive, yeah.
And he's looking at it and just starts, like, freaking the fuck out, like, crying, like, almost, like, realizing that, like it's escalating.
Yep.
It's escalating to a new level. And then he's making dinner. They escape.
He puts, like, a raw steak on the table. And they get up. And he, like, goes to get a can of soup. And he comes back and the steak is almost completely gone.
And he's freaking the fuck out and, like, wondering what the hell is the deal.
So he gathers up all these roaches and puts them back in the tank.
Well, first he just puts regular, like, pieces of steak in the tank and he sees they're not eating it.
Then he goes and collects the other roaches and then dumps them in.
And then they start eating.
So they have a hive mind. They only eat when they're together, like, in unison.
Yeah. They won't eat without each other and... yeah. And then...
So then he goes back to sleep because he's an idiot and never locks the fucking tank.
Yeah, he goes to sleep and they crawl on him.
They start crawling on him and they start like taking bites on him.
And he freaks the fuck out, and, wakes
like,
up and
picks
like
picks them all off and like
and the ones that bite him, he takes them and shoves them into the like pressurization helmet.
Yep, and there's other ones in the tank still because they keep breeding. So like these ones can breed.
Yeah,
and it shows them breeding quite a bit.
And yeah, they're growing, but he sticks them like out of anger into the pressurization tank, turns it all the way up, and he sees that like they like in unison start freaking out.
Yeah, and it's like this like almost like just inhuman like very odd screeching sound.
Yeah, basically that like because they're a hive mind. When one set of them is like in pain, the whole unit is in pain.
Yes.
But eventually, they, quote-unquote, die.
And do they die, though?
No.
So then he goes back to sleep.
Thinking, like, first, before this scene, which is my favorite fucking scene in the movie, he's, like, talking on his little thing, and he's talking about, like, yeah, I'm controlling them, like, he's like, I've noticed that they listen to me. And I've noticed that they keep watching me.
And they're making, like symbols.
And they've started making patterns.
And so, like, it zooms in on, like, the cockroaches forming a circle.
A circle. And but he's getting, like, you know, oh, I've controlled them. Like, I've fucking shown them. Like, don't fuck with
me. Yeah, like, this is, like, these are my bitches.
No, then you get my favorite fucking scene.
So he's asleep.
This scene is fucking awesome.
So he's asleep and he hears this weird noise. So he gets up and already you can tell his like facial expression.
He's freaked out.
He's already freaked out. So he turns on a light.
It's like he slowly walks over to the wall, flicks on the light and freaks the fuck out.
And then he turns on another light and then you see on the wall, the cockroaches have spelled his last name.
Parmeter.
On the fucking wall.
I love this scene.
And it's spelled out in cockroaches.
I love this fucking scene.
So he's like all freaked out and you can see...
By this point, by the way, he looks like a goddamn zombie.
His like lips are all like chapped and chafed. His
eyes are like sunken in.
Like he is like... beard is all, like, mangled and, like...
He looks...
He's so unkempt, it's insane.
He looks like a goddamn zombie, and he's just terrified, and he starts,
so he's
like...
just like, X! And then, like, they form an X in cockroaches.
And then he's like, YZ.
And they form YZ.
My favorite, though...
He
says Y. He's like, Y? And then they just spell out, we live.
We live. Because they ain't dead.
They fucking live. I fucking love this scene. He just freaks the fuck out and, like, he looks at the, like, pressurization helmet and sees that it's open now.
Yeah.
So those quote unquote dead roaches are alive. And he's like, he freaks out. He just grabs the helmet. He's like, I gotta fix it. I have to fix it.
He, like, runs out.
He also gets on his recorder. He's like, it's gone too far. It's gone too far.
He says, I've gone too far.
I've gone too far.
And this will play a big role in one of the next scenes.
It's the very next scene, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the friend at the university's wife comes to give him a Bible, which I think is...
Telling.
Telling. So she goes in and she, like, starts, like, looking around and it's, like, in total dismay.
Well, first she walks in and you just hear a recording.
And you also see, like, a billow of smoke.
And it's just the recording that he made, like, I've gone too far.
And it's repeating.
I've gone too far. I've gone too far. And she just, like, looks and sees that they're, like, crawling all over his fucking, like, recording
material. So she tries to leave and one lands on her hand and burns it. So she gets that one off and then she tries to go out another door. And, like, they,
like,
land on her face. And so she's running outside and, like, burning. And, like, she runs through this cloth and, like, more attached to her. And then she finally falls into, like, one of the...
It's like a little shed.
And she just... And they burn her.
They burn her to death.
And you just see this big billow of smoke start going out the shack.
And then,
The professor gets back.
And he can't find them. Oh, first, before this... You see them moving, because they've been breeding. There's another, like, giant egg.
And they're moving a giant sack into the...
ditch.
Into the ditch.
The giant, like, crack in the ground?
They're all transporting it.
They transport it and throw it in. And,
He gets back and he's like, where the hell are you? Pressurized chamber and can't find him anywhere. So
His friend shows up
and is like, well, my wife was talking about bringing a Bible to you, but that was, like, weeks ago. And so he, like, looks around, he tries to call the wife at the home, and is like, she's not here.
And he's just like, what the hell is going on with you? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay? And he freaks the fuck out, like, don't ever, like, just leave me the hell alone.
And so the friend leaves.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, Al, I'm almost done. And he's like,
and boy, he is almost done.
Yeah.
So he goes... outside to look for the cockroaches and finds the wife.
Freaks out, yeah.
And he freaks out and, like, tries looking for, like, more roaches, I guess. And, like, I can't remember.
He goes to the phone. Remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he sees that they fucking burned...
They burned
the cord.
The telephone cord. And it's night by this point.
Yeah.
Because he's freaking out.
And he hears, like, a very loud noise.
This is my favorite scene.
Because this scene is
fucking intense as hell, and it's insane.
This scene, it literally looks like hell.
Yeah.
Like, there's... I love the use of, like, red lighting in this scene. It legitimately gives it a fucking, like, hell look.
Like the apocalypse.
Yeah, like the fucking apocalypse is happening. Because he goes outside.
And he looks at the ditch.
And then, like, this...
There's just this red glow.
So his face, like...
Like, it's a... But it's, like, a pulsating glow.
Yeah, and, like, he just looks and it's dark. And then this red glow just, like, lights up.
And then he looks in the ditch and it's just lit the fuck up
with red.
These red lights.
And but it's just then,
pulsating.
Then
the real shit hits the goddamn fucking fan.
They, like, flying.
They start flying out of the fucking tunnel.
And I swear, like, the sound effects, it sounds like, I don't even fucking know. Like, the sound effects in this scene, it sounds like a death scream.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it legitimately sounds like they overlaid a death scream. And it just, it makes it.
And they're fucking flying everywhere, burning everything.
They're just lighting shit on fire, and they're, like, they're sitting everywhere, just, like, and it shows them, like, staring at them.
And these are big fucking,
they're like, big, yeah. They're
big fucking roaches. They're probably a good, like, what, like, 10 inches?
And they made the good decision because, you know, obviously, it's just, like, bugs on, like, little, you know, ropes. But they do make a good decision to, like, show them at a minimal level.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, give it away too much. That is just, like, them flying around on ropes.
Well, yeah. And they show a lot of them just landed at different places.
Yeah, so. And the show's, like they're just sitting watching him.
Yeah.
And he freaks the fuck out, and everything is just red and fire. He runs in the house, and, like, there's a great scene where he's in the house, and, like, every light, one by one, goes out.
Well, and I love it, because, like, it goes out, but then, like, on silhouetted on the wall is kind of like a bug face, mm-hmm. almost.
Yeah.
Like, they purposely shadowed it like a bug's face.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Like, and then he, like, starts freaking out, so he goes into the bathroom, and they start, and then one of them just blasts through the fucking window.
And they start attacking him, and they start burning him.
He, like, runs out on fire, and, like, runs into the ditch, and, like, it explodes. It
fucking explodes.
And then, like, sucks a bunch of these, like, bugs back into it, and then all erupts and everything, and then it, like, slowly closes.
Yeah. The end.
The end.
And I do mean the end. It's just roll credits.
Now, I'm assuming all of them got sucked in, but also, think about where this film is located.
California.
Yeah.
What happens in California? On a
fucking fault line.
Yeah.
And earthquakes happen a lot in California.
The implication is that the next earthquake, like, it's the apocalypse.
Well, because these things are breeding at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
And now they can fly.
Yeah.
And every time they breed, they get bigger.
And because he's dead, ain't nobody, like, there's no evidence.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. Like, no one's gonna warn you, like, hey, shit's going down.
It's literally signaling the apocalypse.
Yeah. This movie is underrated.
I would agree.
This got, like, this is really low rated. It's, I mean,
what, like a 5.2 on IMDb?
Yeah, a 5.2, like, there's a lot of people who really don't like this movie. I don't know. I
kind of dig it. I really
I
like do. It.
The second half is very much like my shit. It's so, like, dark and claustrophobic, and just, I love the sense of doom.
Yeah.
Like, that entire second half, it's just hopeless. Because it's just, like, endless scenes of nighttime and him, like, slowly losing his mind. And you watch that and you just know there's no happy ending.
Well, I like it because it's one of those horror movies that has, like, an overwhelming sense of dread.
It has a huge sense of dread. Like
no one, it, like, no, no one in this movie is safe.
Because if you think about, like, all the, like, there's no, all the people who die and all the deaths, it's very, like, innocent.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Well, there's no, like,
there's no, like, people, like, you know, the cliche thing where people are having sex and then the monster comes in and kills them.
Yeah.
But, like, these people are literally doing nothing. Like, one woman is, like, looking at a birthday cake.
Yeah.
And figuring what
to cook. And it's, like,
cook for her birthday.
It's all, like, happy. And then, oh, she gets burned to death. And burns down the whole house.
And it almost makes it more, like, the death's more effective.
Well, it,
especially in this kind of movie.
It gives it the sense of dread.
Yes.
Where it's, like, there's no, like, it's just, like, you know, like you said, it's the death of innocence. It's just,
this movie, like, for a B movie,
it's sinister.
For a B movie, it's sinister and it's bleak as hell.
Also, and again, like, these fucking 70s movies, it's rated fucking PG, and, like, I know there's no, like, insane gore, but, like, still, it's pretty fucking dark.
The images are pretty gruesome.
I mean, yeah, like, and still, it's dark as hell, like,
yeah.
Because, again, and I love that, like, it's the apocalypse. That's literally what it is.
That's literally what they're setting up.
Like, it's just, it's hopeless. And it, because, like you said, it could have been like that movie where, you know, animals attack and then the scientist has to get together with, like, the authorities and they figure out a plan, and then the end of the movie, they kill the threat.
Well, I love it because it, like...
But in this, it's just like, nope.
I love it also because, like, you think, like, oh, okay, they're sucked back into the ground. There's no way of getting out. But then you think about, like, how casual they were about how often the earthquakes happen.
Because they do mention it in the movie.
They're like, they mention how often an earthquake happens. Yeah. And an earthquake literally unleashed these things.
Yeah.
So you got to assume, so you start thinking about it after the movie's over, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, they're just sucked into the ground at first, right?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, wait a minute, they're at a place where earthquakes happen all the time, and these things are growing and breeding at a rapid rate, and they can fly, so next time there's an earthquake, we're fucked.
And no one, the only person who knew
about it is dead.
Is vanished. He's gone. Yeah.
So, yes, they are sealed for now, but you're right.
Yeah.
The reason this movie is about the apocalypse is because the next time that fault line erupts, fire cockroaches everywhere. Because
this could have been, I mentioned this, this could have been so, so much worse and so much cheesier.
But I'll admit, I actually like the way it ended because I think if they showed, like, the actual apocalypse, it would have lessened the movie for me.
No, I mean, for me, it's... It adds to the claustrophobic, like, hopelessness of it.
Well, because it also makes you think, like, this is going to happen again.
Because the entire last half, if you think about it, the last half of the movie is just one location.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's really effective, like... Because by... At a certain point... It's literally, it just feels like him and the bugs. That's it. There's no, like, world. And it's just, I don't know, I think the atmosphere in the second half is fantastic. And that scene where they start spelling out words to him, I fucking love
it. It's creepy.
It's fucking awesome. It's well done,
too.
And, again, it's like, but it's done for real, which is admirable, because I don't know how they did it, but... They probably had, like, some sort of food there.
Those were real cockroaches,
and they had... But they still, like... The cockroaches line up to spell the words.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Well, it's funny, because in the credits...
There's even, like,
it said, like...
Insect...
Insect handler?
Handler, yeah.
So you know that they were, like, proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they should be, I mean, honestly.
It looks cool.
It, like, looks great.
I would go as far to say... And this is saying a lot for me, because I love, like, William Castle... Mm. I think this is one of the best movies I've seen him involved with.
Well, it's so,
now,
like, dark.
He did also, I think a lot of people forget, he also produced Rosemary's Baby.
He did?
Yes.
Awesome.
So he was behind that. He's produced a lot of, like, really
dark,
good,
yeah.
Like, dark shit. So not only is he, like, the gimmick king.
Yeah.
But, like, he also has directed some, like, produced some really cool stuff. He's, like, he was more of a producer of the big movies and then, like, a director of
his own, like
crappy, gimmicky, you know,
yeah, B-movies.
Which I love still.
Yeah.
But I would say this is, like, other than Rosemary's Baby, I think this is one of the best ones I've seen so far he's been involved with.
I dig this.
I think it's good.
It's well acted, like...
We keep talking about it, but I do like that overwhelming sense of dread. I like... If you're going to do a horror movie, you have to have that dread.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have that sense that things are not okay.
Mm.
You know, like, things are not, like, things are not going well.
Because what is horror?
That's exactly what horror is. It's like, you have to feel uneasy. Yeah.
Is there nothing more pure horror than, like, just a slow, like, descent into madness and insanity? Because there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
No.
And that's what I love. It's, I don't know. I dig it. I think it's admirable.
No, I think
this could have been, like, this could have been just so much worse.
I would go as far, my final thought would be, I would go as far as to say that this is almost a contender for my best of 1975.
It? Yeah.
Almost. Like, I don't know, we haven't seen all of the movies in 1975. But I would say I've enjoyed a lot of films from 1975 that I thought I wouldn't. Yeah. But this is, like, by far the one I've enjoyed the most so far.
No, this one is... I mean, it's on the podcast for a reason, because it's a little rated.
It is a little rated. And a lot of people would think this movie is stupid.
Here's the thing. I think with this movie, there is the issue of expectations.
Yes.
And I do think there are people who would prefer this to be a more, like, silly, you know, like, goofy movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, and I'm not saying that that wouldn't be fun. If it was like that, I'm sure it'd be fun. But for me, to, at a deeper level, I find more enjoyment out of this. Because taking a movie about cockroaches that shoot fire out of their ass,
yep,
and making some fucking weird apocalypse movie out of it that's like super dark and super unsettling to me is pretty fucking admirable.
Yeah.
And I dig it. I don't know. I think it's admirable. I think everyone should check it out.
No, I would definitely recommend this film.
If you like dark, like weird, that's the thing. It's weird. It's
a weird fucking movie. And if you can get past the fact that the main antagonist of the film is a bunch of cockroaches, yeah, that light shit on fire with their asses, get past that, and it's actually a really good movie.
It's solid. Like, I can easily recommend this. Like, you have to be, maybe know what you're getting into.
But I would say just keep an open mind when, yeah, you're going into it. Like, don't expect too much out of it. Because if you expect too much, you're not going to enjoy it. But if you don't expect a lot, then you're going to really enjoy it and actually get more than you, like, more, yeah, than you thought you would.
Because if you just go by the synopsis, which doesn't really set your expectations high, yeah, I think you'll get enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's kind of my final thought on it. I think horror fans should watch this. And I think that if you're a fan of like bleak movies, but you're also a fan of like insects, like destroying shit or like monsters or anything like that, I would say this movie is definitely for both those fans.
Yeah, definitely. And especially if you like, that really like dark claustrophobic movies or movies that have like that apocalyptic,
yeah,
feel, like that something is wrong.
Definitely if you liked them.
Yes.
If you liked them, watch this movie.
Yeah. No, yeah. Them is solid.
Them is a good one. But yeah, so that's our final thoughts on that. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nah. Just watch it.
Live stream is coming soon. We haven't scheduled it yet, but we're putting it together. We're getting lots of games and shit, so we're putting it all together, so we'll let you guys know when we're doing that in a future podcast. But for now, I think we'll call it there. For They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
Well, we will talk to you all later.
Bye! I've gone too far.
I've gone too far.